And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody is having a good start to your day. Hey, this is the end of the week for a lot of you. Hope that gets you excited. Heading into a weekend, and yes, we've got live sports. Yay! We'll get into that in just a moment. Darren McFarland, that's me, back here at the home studio down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is over in Nice, Nashville, where he's been this whole time as well. We were at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Predators are off today. They'll have a practice tomorrow, and then they will head to the hub city of Edmonton, where the Western Conference teams will be. So we'll get into a lot of that talk here today for sure. Chase is off this week, so he'll be off today, and he'll be back on Monday. Ian Safar in the chair today back at the Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Willie, we have Major League Baseball. How about it?
Wow. It was fun to watch last night. I got a chance to watch a lot of both games. Good to have some final scores that are not games that were played 25 years ago or games that didn't count for one reason or another. These were real games. No fans, but hey, next best thing.
Well, anything stand out to you other than two games that went final and one game that wasn't able to be completed because of the weather?
It's just, I think what stood out to me is just getting used to how the games are going to be covered. ESPN had the coverage of the games last night. I actually went for a jog at the beginning of the Yankees-Nationals game, and I was listening to both radio calls. It sounded to me, and I don't know, it just depends on where you put your microphones probably, but it just dawns on you how important the background sound is. And we've discussed this some on the show this week, because we got a hint of it during some of these games that have been televised that were scrimmages. What a ballpark does to pump the background noise is, does add, whether you like it or not, I think we're going to have to get used to it. Did you see this, that when Fox starts doing national games, they're actually going to computerize, you know, fans in? It's like a computer-generated crowd in the seats. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? That's going to be a whole new dimension. Not cardboard cutouts, not empty seats, but actually computer-generated fans in the stands to go with the noise.
I did not. I just saw a lot of cardboard cutouts.
Well, you wouldn't have seen it yet. Fox hasn't done a game yet, but when they start doing national games,
that explains it then. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they have put out a clip. You can probably Google it of what it's going to look like. So I'm okay with it. I know a lot of people are like, "What?" But when you watch a game, listen, the baseball fans like me, I'm going to be watching even if there was no noise at all. But I'll tell you, it adds when you put the sound in there. I know it's the timing's not all right. It is artificial. It's clearly artificial. But it's necessary, I think. If you're trying to get any new fans out of this, you're not going to get any new fans to watch baseball when there's just zero noise going on in the park. I just think it's not going to be a good thing at all to try to grab new people. So I think you got to do the best that you can to add in some bells and whistles, some ambiance, if you will. Mm-hmm. But on the field, I think we saw what we already knew. The Dodgers are very powerful up and down the lineup. The Yankees are very powerful up and down the lineup. Gerrit Cole, as advertised, coming in. Mookie Betts didn't have his greatest game he's going to have as a Dodger, but still showcased his talents a little bit in his first game as a Dodger, got his first hit. So it was just great to have a couple of games to sink your teeth into.
No doubt about it. Yeah, a little bit rough start. But look, this is what's going to be interesting, right? Because we talk about this all the time, is now there's going to be – and not that he's not used to the market, which is interesting how Mookie to this point has played in these massive baseball markets, right? These big, massive, microscope, you know, incredible fan base, incredible history, and that's the two markets he's played in. It's not like his experience in the bigs right now has been Miami and Tampa, right? So, I mean, he has been in the belly of Major League Baseball, and he's got to see it from that. But now he's in the second largest market in the country, and L.A. is a big city, and they've got a lot of reporters and a lot of eyes on them and a lot of expectations, and now he's got a lot of expectations. And I'm not saying that Mookie can't handle it. I'm not going there at all. I'm just saying he hasn't really had to have these type of expectations. You know, in Boston, he was always – there was just the 1 year – we could never figure out, right, why he was never getting this type of deal, the big, massive money deal in Boston. Now he has – he's the second highest paid player in Major League Baseball, and with that comes this huge, bright light, a microscope on him and everything. You know, if he was making just that one-year deal, you know, like he's made the last couple of years, and he strikes out in his first at-bat and has a so-so game right out of the gates, nobody says anything. But because of the news cycle he's been in the last 24, 48 hours, it gets amped up. And that's what he'll have to deal with. And I'll be curious to see how he deals with that. I think, quite honestly, my opinion, over the years, I think there's been times when David Price struggled with that. When he still has, but back then, wasn't his contract the highest in baseball or one of the highest in baseball, right? The $225 million at the time. And I think he had to deal with that.
It was a big thing.
Yeah,
it was a big
and I think at times he struggled with that. And so Mookie's going to have to deal with that in this second largest market in the country and a lot of eyes on the Dodgers and that team. And they're supposed to get to the World Series. They're supposed to win it finally. And every at-bat, every play, you know, people are going to question whether he was worth it or say, man, thank goodness the Dodgers got the Mookie Betts, right? I mean, that's how it works. Fair or unfair, that's just what he's in for the next, you know, I don't want to say 12 years because eventually that all goes away. But, you know, for the foreseeable future, that dialogue will be in play with everything Mookie does.
I think Mookie, this is just my projection. I just think he transcends a lot of that with just the way he goes about it. We know how nasty Boston can be. I mean, let's be honest. They have great fans, but they're also there's a nasty streak to them where they don't care who you are. They're willing to rip just about anybody. But Mookie still seemed to rise above that for the most part. You would be hard-pressed to find people who are critical. Now, you make a great point. Once you sign the big contract, the expectations rise with it, and the Dodgers are in a unique situation. I do think the media is different in L.A. than it is in Boston. Would you agree? It's a different vibe
Than Boston, yes.
I think it's definitely a different vibe. However, when you haven't won the World Series, and anything short of the World Series at this point is still like, well, what's going on? You know, we've done all this winning. We've won 7 division titles in a row. We've got the best players. We got to win the whole thing. You know, that's the highest expectation you can have. And when you're that kind of a player, you're expected to deliver. So I do think there will be some added pressure, but I just think he's got the right mindset for how he goes about his business. And I think he's going to be beloved out there. But there will be a lot of pressure, especially in the postseason. I think that's when it really is going to be high stakes.
No doubt. Quite honestly,
he helps you win. He helps you win so many ways other than his batting average, his home runs, his RBIs. And that was evident last night. You know, I was thinking of this myself. I don't think I've ever seen a better base runner than Mookie Betts. When you watch him, and I would invite people when you watch the Dodgers and you watch Mookie, watch how he runs the bases. It's so hard to teach. It's not just the stolen bases, but it's when to take the extra base. You know, knowing how you can go first or third helps that he's fast, but he's got this way of reading the play. Like last night he scored with and Darren, you will see this going forward, how important this facet of the game is and how hard it is to teach. Man on third, less than 2 outs, infield is in. He still finds a way to score on a grounder to second with a great slide to avoid the tag. He just gets a great jump. He knows exactly how to slide. You have to watch it night in and night out to really appreciate it. The detail of his game on defense. So it goes beyond his hitting stats, and that's why he's as valuable as it is. And I think the Dodger fans will start to appreciate that when they see him every night.
Yeah, and I look at that roster, not that we didn't know it, but just when you just see it again, it's like, woof. And I know Kershaw,
it's sick.
Went on the DL. Ridiculous. But their roster is, it's disgusting. loaded.
And honestly, that's going to lead us into our discussion that we're going to do some this hour. Mm-hmm. The new playoff format that they have decided to go with. And I think there's a lot of belief that even though this is a one-shot deal in 2020 in terms of, hey, let's try everything this year, that a lot of people think it will have legs and stick. But if you want to see the two best teams in the World Series most years, you're not going to see it with this playoff format. Most years you will not see it. It's just it's not going to happen. In fact, you're more often going to see, some, I don't want to say bad teams, but teams that just get hot at the right time make it. So is that what you want?
Yeah, that's the way sports works. Sports doesn't work. The best teams always win. That's the beauty of it. I mean, it happens all the time.
In the NBA, I think the best teams
you're right.
Win.
And I think that's a flaw with the NBA, quite honestly, my personal opinion. It's chalk. In fact, I saw a stat the other day, and I'm going back in memory, and somebody's going to have to check on this. It's the 80s. I know that. I'm pretty sure. It's the 80s, the last time a lower than a 3 seed made it to the NBA Finals. I think that's right. Made it to the Finals or one. Anything lower than a 3 seed, basically in the NBA, top 3 seeds, that's the way it runs out in the playoffs. In other words, if you're filling out a bracket, it's pretty darn easy. You just get the top seeds, and they're going to get all the way to the NBA Finals. I couldn't believe it. I was like, that can't be right. The 80s is the last time that's happened? You've got to be kidding me. And I think it was 90, wait a minute, no, take that back. 94, 95, wasn't that the Rockets? I think it was the Rockets, the last team to do that. Rockets, 94, 95. And to be lower than a 3 seed.
That was a repeat champion.
Yeah, they lower than a 3 before. Seed. So that's to your point, NBA is very chalky.
Does the NFL, does the best team get there more often than not, the best teams? I think so. I think there's competitive balance, but I think the best teams, generally speaking, get there. And I'm not saying I never want upsets. I want upsets. But I think I would like to see it be harder for a team that is an underdog to win. And when you have a 16-team tournament, and listen, I love the randomness of the NHL, but we've seen it both sides, right? We've seen the Predators as an 8 seed be the surprise team that goes all the way to the finals, and we love that. We also saw the heat that they took when they were the first overall seed and lost in the second round, right?
Yep. Hey, we got a break. We got to come back with Chris Rose. We'll talk more baseball with him. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Becker on Darren Donick and Chase here on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. It's going to be another probably sunny and hot day here in Nashville. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase will be back on Monday on the program. We talked a little bit about the start of the Major League Baseball season in the first segment of the show. We're going to continue that discussion with Chris Rose. MLB Network does a great job, Intentional Talk, where you can find his work, and he does a lot of things involving sports. But right now we're going to talk a little baseball with him. Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
I looked for a cardboard cutout of you last night. I couldn't find one.
Well, you didn't look closely enough, and I think we're in four parks, Malar and myself. I think we're in Dodger Stadium, although nobody can really nail down exactly where we are. I believe we're in Seattle, Oakland, and in my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio.
All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I like it because I look significantly thinner in my cardboard cutout than in real life. So, I mean, I'm all for this stuff.
At least they got it right. It's what's bad, Chris, is sometimes I've seen players when their bobblehead or something like that comes out and they look at it and they're like, that's the bobblehead? That doesn't look like me. I have actually seen players send it back and say, we can't do that. You've got to do this over. So at least they got your cutout right.
No, that's no question. And actually, I've been fortunate enough to have a bobblehead for both the MLB Network and the NFL Network that I work for. And for the MLB, it's me and Millar sitting at a desk. And my youngest son, probably when I came out, he was probably 9 at the time or 8 or something. And he looked at it and he goes, "Dad, they gave you way too much hair." I'm like, "Screw you. Good luck at your allowance with this kid. Beat it."
There goes your college fund, kid.
Right.
You're a loose guy, but I thought your cardboard cutout looked a little stiff. All right, I'm going to move on before you hang up on us.
Exactly.
Let me start with the Cleveland thing real quick, okay, before we do a headfirst dive into last night and moving forward. It seems like we went up there once and had a discussion with somebody who covers the Indians. It seems like there's real movement to possibly change their nickname. How do you feel about that? Where are you at on that?
So I am a lifelong Clevelander in the sense that that's where my heart is. I've lived in L.A. for the last 20-plus years, but I grew up in Cleveland, diehard Indians, Browns, Cavs fan, and it's something that should have been done a long time ago, changing the name. It's pretty simple. My opinion, and it might not be everybody's opinion, I don't root for a team because of their nickname. And if it can be deemed even mildly offensive or just inappropriate, let's just move on. There's plenty of other nicknames we can choose from. There really are. So I root for the players on the team. The memories I have as a child growing up and now as a father of two are because of the players, not because of the nickname. So to me, it's not that big a deal, you know?
I mean, interesting.
Yeah. Now, once again, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Not everybody feels that way. There's some people who say, well, why are we always going to, we're going to find something wrong with every nickname out there. That's not the way I see it, but I think that there are certain nicknames that should be moved on from. And so I'm all for it.
Do you think they're going to actually do it?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I do.
What did you make of the owner? Go ahead.
The owner actually had a meeting with the team the other day, and I think he wanted the team's, not necessarily the input, but maybe, you know, and I haven't gotten to the bottom of exactly what was said during that team meeting, but I know that they met about it and also some social injustice issues, which I totally applaud management for. Unfortunately, the gap between player and ownership, I'm just talking from an emotional standpoint, has gotten so severe that the players feel like, hey, you know, we're just another employee. You know, there should be the ability to come together on a lot of issues, you know, and at least have a discussion. I mean, that's what we're talking about, I think, in the greater good of society, is just being able to talk things out and understand people's viewpoints. Whether you're the owner of a team, the player, the person who takes the tickets, whomever, we all should have a voice in how we feel.
I ask because I'm a huge Indians fan. I actually was covering the Indians in the 90s before I moved to Nashville. So I covered the 95 and 97 team. My first gig out of school was in the scoreboard room in the first year at Jacobs Field in 94. So I've got a lot of history there, and I was just curious on your thoughts. We've also, Chris, gotten to know Mookie Betts really well over the years. Of course, Nashville, and a kid that grew up here, and certainly made a lot of news in the last 24, 48 hours with that contract. What did you make of that? What do you make of Mookie now with the Dodgers?
So when I found out, when I woke up that day and heard about the possibility of the $350-plus million extension at the time was being reported, I was like, wow, this is pretty substantial during a pandemic and the fact that the collective bargaining agreement expires after next season. So, but then when you sit down and think about it, I think it just goes to show you exactly who Mookie Betts is. And you guys probably know it from talking with him. I know from covering him over the last several years that he is A's across the board. You know, you start with the talent because obviously guys don't get paid if they're just good guys, but if they hit 208, they're not getting $365 million. He's got the talent. He's got the durability. Yeah, he missed close to 30 games last year, but that was really the first time he had been slowed down in his career. He's in the prime of his career at age 27. Then you get to everything else, the work ethic. I can just tell you this. A bunch of years ago, Millar and I, we were doing a show, Intentional Talk, live from Yankee Stadium before the Yankees-Red Sox game. And we get there at 2 o'clock, which is 3 hours before our show and 5 hours before first pitch. And usually nobody's out there. Well, who's on the field taking early BP? Mookie Betts. He's the only guy on the field taking early batting practice. And one of the Yankees coaches walked out, and he looked at him, and he shook his head, and he goes, I can't believe it. He's like, if you were to line up the 50 players that were going to play that night, me in uniform, he's number one in terms of talent, and he's the only guy on the field.
Yep.
That shows you exactly all you need to know.
Willie, that falls under the category of quiet time that Trent Dilfer used to tell us about all the time, right? It's the time that nobody sees and understands how certain athletes get to where they are. It's the quiet time, and there's a prime example of it right there.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you're going to have days where you're just not your best, but there's no reason not to have days where you don't work your best, right? And so if the guy you're paying $365 million to is also the guy who's showing up first, hey, man, nobody else has an excuse. Nobody.
You understand that, Mark. You said you've been out there now more than two decades in L.A., and we were talking about this as well. You know what that huge contract becomes, huge expectations. L.A. is a huge market, second largest in the country. You understand how it's covered out there and discussed on the platforms. How do you think, and with that huge contract will come big, bright lights, how do you think he'll handle the constant, you know, whatever, talk, scrutiny, however you want to put it, the minute he goes 0-4 for three straight games with that contract, how do you think it'll be covered out there? Tell us.
Well, he did play in Boston, right?
Yeah, he did. Boston's worse, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, it's a good baseball town. You know, L.A. obviously has a tough time because there's so many transients and there's so much other stuff to do that it's not a great sports town. It is a really good Lakers town, and it's a good Dodgers town. So they are passionate about it, and they do care. And, you know, for them, they've been a little frustrated because they've won seven straight division crowns, but they haven't finished the deal since 1988. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be that mounting pressure if, you know, they don't get it done this year. Maybe it's you let them slide because it's such a weird season and an expanded playoffs. But if starting in 2021, there's some issues. Yeah, I mean, players are going to hear it, but they know that. And believe me, if there's a guy that can handle anything, it's Mookie Betts.
Talking to Chris Rhodes from MLB Network, Intentional Talk. And Chris, I actually saw your show yesterday, and it was right as the playoff format was getting announced, and not all the details were in there yet, and you and Kevin were kind of going back on the basics of it. But so let's start there. 16 teams, I just don't think of baseball that way. I don't see it as a tournament sport. It's a long-haul kind of thing. And the idea of a team, let's say, that goes 29-31 that could beat a team in a 2 out of 3, which is very possible, that might win 38 games or something like that. I don't like that as a baseball fan, but what do you think?
Well, you know, I went into this thing when we opened up summer camp at the beginning of July and came back on the air. I said, listen, everybody, the key word here for everyone, I'm talking players, management, coaches, fans, is flexibility. You have to be, because everything's on the table this year. And that includes an expanded playoffs. I mean, we understand why it's being done. Obviously, the owners are getting more money during, you know, from TV revenue because of expanded playoffs. But it also keeps your interest, right? I mean, it's over a 60-game sprint. Now, how many teams are not going to be involved heading into the last week of the season? You know, I could guess there's maybe going to be three or four that legitimately don't have a shot at one of those eight playoff spots. I do understand your trepidation a bit because, you know, there are teams in the NBA that make it sometimes with a 500 record, and you're like, what are those teams doing in there? But the odds of an eight seed knocking off a one seed in that sport are very, very low just because of the talent disparity and because one player can make such a huge difference. Here, your starting pitcher lays an egg, which always happens at some point during the season. You know, that can happen. And then all of a sudden, the higher-seeded team loses game one, and they're like, holy smokes, this comes down to one-game season for us. So, yeah, there's that possibility. There totally is. But, you know, I hate to say it, but that's just the way that we're going to roll this year.
Yeah, and this year I can live with it. I think I'm concerned for how, you know, once you do it, can you put the genie back in the bottle, especially because right. It will be exciting for sure. There will be upsets and unexpected things. And, Chris, what about the thing? I don't think this had come out when you guys were on the air yesterday, but naming your opponent, you know, the first place team saying we want to play X in the first round. What do you think of that?
Well, has that become official or is that still a rumor?
I think it's still a rumor. I can't tell. I don't know. Like I would think now that this is day two of the season, you'd think somebody would make an announcement. But that's
right.
That's so been kicked around, hasn't it?
As an employee of the MLB Network, I will wait until it becomes factual to make my stance on that. How's that sound? I've got my attorney sitting right next to me, giving me a thumbs up. I'm kidding. I don't do these radio interviews with my attorney. They're joke, guys.
So any one thing that you're looking for in terms of the new rules that are out there, the three batter rule, yeah. The guy on second in the extra innings, anything you like, don't like about what we're going to see with these experiments they're going to go with?
So, you know, the three batter rule actually did come into effect. I don't know if you guys were still up watching the Dodger Giant game, but there's a guy named Kolarik who's a left-handed specialist a year ago, and I think he had the most number of one batter appearances a season ago. So that's the sort of guy that it would affect the most. He came in last night, and I think when he came in, something really interesting happened. Gabe Kapler pinch hit for Brandon Crawford in like the seventh inning of what was still a close game. And I was like, whoa, that's big news. You know, they wanted to get a right-handed stick in there for him. For a guy who helped him get the multiple World Series rings. And then he ended up pitching to like four batters or something. And he even forgot that the rule was in effect. So that one, I think, although I understand people might not like it, you'll get used to it. The one I'm looking forward to is actually the extra inning rule. Like, I'm all in favor of this one. And I have been ever since our youngest son, who's 14 now, is like eight. And he played on an all-star team where we were in a tournament. And we get the extra innings in the semifinal game, and we were like, well, what do we do in extra innings? They're like, well, we do this thing called the California something or other rule, where a runner starts on second at the beginning of an inning, and my son ended up being the guy at the plate, and he knocked in the go-ahead run. We ended up winning the game and beating our arch rival. And I was like, this is awesome. So the only thing I'm disappointed about is that they didn't name it the Brady Rose rule this year moving forward. So I'm actually, I think people, although they see it on paper and they're like, oh, that thing sucks, let's let it play out. And I think you might enjoy it more than you think you will.
That is what our colleagues at the Nashville Sound said.
Yep. They told
in
us
the
that
AAA.
Exact same
they started
thing.
Off as a, this is terrible. What are we doing? And by the end of the season, they're like, this is great. We love
they
it.
Loved it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what the general manager of the Sounds told us. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that that's the thing is that we have to stop being, if there's one thing we have learned about society right now, you can either sit there and bitch and moan about situations and everything we're in, or you can adjust. You know what? Adjusting might not be the most comfortable thing in your life. Try it. You might find you like something.
Yeah. Leave us with this, Chris. A team that wasn't in the playoffs, and I know it's going to be wide open. This is why it's a fun question. Wasn't a playoff team last year, but because of this format and what we're going to see, watch out. They're set up short regular season, And I know with the expanded playoffs, that kind of squashes us. We were doing this more when it was just going to be the 10 teams. But how about just give us a non-playoff team last year that you think could be exciting and fun to watch this year and make noise?
All right. So I don't want to give too much away because we actually have an early intentional talk today. So we're on at 2 o'clock Eastern, which is 1 o'clock your time.
Okay.
And that's when we're doing our yearly prediction. And
okay.
Last year, I just want to say this, that last year, I finally, after 7 seasons of picking the Washington Nationals to win the World Series, I finally stepped in it, and it finally worked. So, you know, I'm not going to say that the team I'm going to pick is definitely going to win the World Series, but I will say this, that I'm on a roll, guys. I'm on a roll. So with that being said, as I look at my predictions that I handed in to my producer, for the final 4, I've got one team in the final 4 that was not even in the playoffs a year ago.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So they are, and I'll be honest with you, because they've already suffered some injuries heading into this thing, I'm a little worried about my pick, especially in a 60-game season, but I'm just saying, screw it. I'm going to stick with it. And by the way, they're my 6th seed going into the playoffs. I don't even have them winning a division. So there you go.
Okay.
You have to tune in
to, I was going to say, that was this. Just a big-time tease for 1 o'clock our time today. Okay. Well, now I've got to watch. I've got to see who you're talking about. Well done.
That doesn't do much for you. No.
You gonna. We're gonna have to wait, aren't we? You're just not gonna tell us. I'm so curious. You built it up, and I was dying to hear this team
okay.
That's gonna be in the Final Four that wasn't in the playoffs last year.
Do you want a hint?
I do want a hint. Yes.
Okay. Your 2 hints are one big reason I think they'll be in the playoffs and make a run is because of a guy who hasn't played in 2 years. And your other hint is this guy has been arguably the best at his position over the last few seasons, but he has a very different look than when we first saw him. Thank you.
Wow. Well done. Well, now the curiosity's up even more. Hey, really appreciate you doing this. Good to talk to you, and we'll be watching today. And let's talk down the road. Thanks for doing this.
Well, 2 things. First of all, will you really be watching, or are you just saying that because you want to end on a nice note? Are you really going to tune in, or
we've been sitting.
We will tune in. We will be on the air, but we will tune in. Yeah,
right. Okay. So I've got 65-inch TV right in front of me. We've been doing the show from home for the last 4.5 months.
That's nice.
And at 1 o'clock Central, absolutely. I'm going to have you on the 65-inch while we do the final hour of the show. I won't be able to hear you.
No, that's probably the best way to watch.
I can see the graphics.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to hear what's coming out of our mouths. It doesn't make sense. Then, then our viewers get really confused when they actually try to listen to what we're saying. It's not any good. So.
By the way, does your son get money now as enough time elapsed, or is he still not receiving any money?
No, well, at this point, I can tell you this. With us basically still being in quarantine in California and they're going to have to do virtual schooling and stuff, I'm just like, here, dude, just take my credit card. You're good. Just have at it, bro.
So that's where you are in the Rose household, okay?
Yeah, we've just pretty much given up, guys.
Hey, appreciate you doing this. Good talk, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys, take care and stay healthy.
All right, you do the same. Fun conversation there with Chris Rose, MLB Network, and they will indeed make their predictions at 1 o'clock our time today on the MLB Network. Good stuff there. We'll come back and discuss more on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Chris Rose. That was fun. Casey Alexander. We'll have some fun with him coming up to kick off the second hour of the program. So that's at noon. You just made the list at high noon. Actually, Casey Alexander at 11. I just said noon. 11 o'clock, high noon, you just made the list. We'll do a little trivia in the final hour. Have fun with that. And Pierre McGuire in the third hour as well, along with You Just Made the List. So a lot of fun coming up here on this Friday. So who is the team that he's talking about that was not a playoff team that he is obviously has got a lot of faith in and is predicting them to be one of the final four teams standing? Any idea?
Well,
any
and
thoughts?
Just hearing his clues, it could be the Mets. Because he was talking about him being a little nervous about his pick because of some injuries. And, you know, Marcus Stroman going down is a huge, huge blow. Already having Noah Syndergaard out for the season. Now you take Marcus Stroman, who they're probably going to lose to free agency at the end of the year. You know, they traded a lot to get him. It's just typical Mets, right? If anything can go wrong, it will. The guy he was saying, he said there's a star player that hasn't played in 2 years. Well, that could be Yoenis Cespedes, who has not taken a live at-bat in 2 calendar years. It's almost like Steve Sullivan. Remember how long it was between times he actually played for the Predators back in the day? That's how long it's been for Cespedes, with all the crazy, mm-hmm. you know, incidents with the boar on the ranch and the ankles and the heels. And I mean, it's been a while, but he's been playing and he can DH now, which is huge. So the Mets, I think, can hit. There's no doubt about it. It's now a question of can they have the pitching depth? And I'm not so sure. I don't know how long Stroman will be out, but I'm a little worried. But if everything came together, especially now that you have the ability to finish first or second in the division and still even have 2 spots available for the wild card. I don't know if you want to call it the wild card, but there's 2 more spots to get to 8. It gives you a chance to get in. And if you get in and you're healthy at that point, then I think there's a lot of teams that could have a chance. I wouldn't. I'm not sitting here going Mets are going to the Final Four, though. Even though I've got my Mets hat on, it's opening day. I'm going to root for him, but I don't know. It's a deep division.
I didn't think about the Mets. And quite honestly, my brain was racing, and I wasn't
well,
sure.
Who else would have a guy, a star player, that hasn't played in 2 years?
Okay, this probably isn't right, but this is just the first thought that cropped in my head. Maybe it was because that was kind of my bold prediction. But I don't think it's been 2 years. Otani hasn't been out 2 years, has he? Or has it just been 1 year? Honestly, I was thinking about the Angels.
Didn't Otani hit last year? He just didn't pitch? Am I remembering that right?
Well, he's been basically out of the lineup way more than he's been in the lineup. He had Tommy John, right?
Right. So he hasn't pitched in a long time.
He also hasn't played much. So I don't think that's – but I don't know who the other player that he's talking about, who that would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at Otani last year. He played in 106 games as a hitter last year. Played 104 the year before. So he's been hitting. I'm looking for his pitching stats. He hasn't pitched in 2 years.
So he's basically just – been so in playing theory, a little bit over could, half of a season every year. Batting only. And he's getting 300, basically averaging out about 350 at-bats a year. It's probably not who he's talking about, but, you know, he's out in L.A. You know, I don't know. That's just what came to mind. Nobody else really fits that bill. I was very... There's just a lot of things are racing through my head. Who could he be talking about?
Well, the teams
the
that have been
years.
I think
Cespedes
most
is
named
a good one.
The two teams that were most named of the different things that I've been watching and following, MLB Network and ESPN and The Athletic, the White Sox and the Reds are the two sleeper teams, I think, consensus-wise, that are getting talked about the most, of teams that have a chance to jump in there unexpectedly. I mean, the Reds to this point, I don't even bat an eye when I hear somebody say, I think the Reds could win it, because they're getting talked about so much right now with the improvements they've made on paper.
Who's their two-year player, though?
Well, I'd see, that's the thing. I don't think that means he was talking about the Reds. I don't think of one. I can't think of one that fits that mold.
I can't either. With that being said, let's head over to the Reds desk. Ryan Porth is standing by. Ryan, who do you have?
Yeah.
I don't think there is one. I think you're right. I don't think that's who he was talking about.
You mean Ryan is not on standby, ready to just run in and take
said,
the mic
because
somewhere?
We said Cincinnati? You know, you would think he would be, I mean, just immediately.
No sign of him yet here in the studio. Signal. Yeah, wow. No sign yet. But
wow, something is slipping. He is really slipping. Do you like the 16 teams?
This year, I think it's a good idea. I like the idea for this year, and I'll tell you why. I remember the strike of 82. This is how far back I can go with the NFL. They only played 9 games in the regular season because of the strike. And so they just said, let's have a big 16-team tournament. And it was great. And one of the teams I followed, living in New York at the time, was the Jets. And the Jets made a great run and got all the way to the AFC Championship game, but they had to win a couple of playoff games against tough teams to get there. So it was fun. I just hope they don't stick with it, because I don't like 4 rounds of playoffs to determine a champion when you've already played 162 games. I just don't think baseball is designed for that. You work too hard to gain an advantage as a division champion over 162 games to put it on the line in a 2 out of 3, even if you are a way better team on paper and you would probably beat a team, you know, 7 out of 10 or 6 out of 10. But in small series, you know this, Darren, when even the Orioles are going to beat some teams, probably a couple of good teams, 2 out of 3, somewhere in there. You know, it happens. It doesn't mean it's going to happen when everything's on the line, but it could happen, right? Your pitcher could have a bad game. You know, you could hit the ball hard right at people. I don't like that in principle. This year, though, hey, the more baseball, the better. Get it in there. I'm okay with that. I just worry about it long term.
Well, I got bad news for you. If they do go expanded playoffs past this year, you won't be having a 162-game season. I feel pretty good about that.
I've not heard that said by one person.
Well, you just
not
heard
one
it.
Person.
No, you,
said
no,
that.
You that's
now,
not
the collective...
true. That's not true. One person did just say it, so you have heard it from one person. They're not playing 162
okay.
games with expanded
will...
playoffs. Not happening. You just heard it here first.
Well, they have one more year on the collective bargaining agreement, so next year they will play 162. And you will be hard pressed for me to know of an owner that will try to go less than 162.
Okay. Just remember.
I mean,
if they
go to 154, I could live with that. But I think we also know that the collective bargaining agreement after next year is going to be a zoo, and not in a good way.
No, baseball. They won't have any issues. Baseball's pretty clean. They're pretty good about getting things done.
I mean, let's not
in a timely fashion.
I can't even talk about it right now. Let's just try to enjoy the.
I don't know what you're talking about. They're pretty good about getting in a room and. Coming out on the other side and everybody feeling good and pretty swift. I think they move pretty quickly on things. Kind of, maybe. The Braves
Let's
and
just
the Mets
enjoy this. What?
Will be the first game today. 3:00. We'll be off the air. Mets and Braves. DeGrom and Soroka. We've got the Reds and the Tigers. Boy, that is a big one. Man, that is a...
And I'm hearing, seeing here from Dave O'Brien that the Braves will be without both of their catchers, Tyler Flowers and Travis d'Arnaud. They both tested negative for COVID, but have symptoms and are back in Atlanta.
Hmm. Wow.
Alex Jackson.
Who's catching?
Alex Jackson will catch.
Sure.
Sure.
Alex Jackson.
I'll take – who is that for 500, Alex? Apparently
I
the third
you,
catcher
I don't
for
know
the
anything
Reds.
About Alex Jackson. Both catchers. Wow.
Sonny Gray will be on the bump today for the Reds. So that's about a 5-10 first pitch in Cincinnati. Rays and Blue Jays. Cubs and Brewers, Phillies and Marlins, Tribe and Royals in Cleveland, Shane Bieber and Danny Duffy, Red Sox and Orioles in Boston, Texas, hey, they'll get to unveil their new stadium. I've seen a lot of things about it, renderings and just, you know, kind of like what do they call like these 3D things where that, you know, they go around all these, you pan with the camera angles and it goes with the roof open, with the roof closed, inside with the roof open, and you just kind of like take this virtual tour around it. It's really cool, which is, it's right next door to their old facility, but they will actually, they're going to host the Rockies tonight, so they'll get to, we'll get to see their new stadium. Lance Lynn will be the opening day starter for Texas. White Sox and Twins. I just saw where the Twins put Jake Ordizio. How do you say his last name?
Jake Odorizzi.
What is it?
Jake Odorizzi.
Odorizzi. Well, he just put him. He's injured, so he's going to be the
DL. Good
player. Yeah, he's a very good player. Pirates and Cardinals. Astros in Seattle, and that's the Mariners, not the Kraken. Padres in Arizona, Dodgers and Giants again, and then the A's. Tony Kemp and Oakland will be at home to take on the Los Angeles Angels.
Speaking of stadiums, just coming down the pike, Toronto finally. The Blue Jays have a place to play.
So is it Camden?
It is not.
It's not. They've moved.
It is not.
Again?
Rejected.
Again?
Again.
So, is it back to Pittsburgh?
It is not. They've been kicked out of Pittsburgh. Gosh. Can't play there.
You've got to be kidding me.
It's they have Nashville. A home, though.
It's Nashville.
Close. It's a AAA town.
It is a AAA town. I thought that's why they weren't going to go to Buffalo, because they didn't want to play in that facility.
They're going to Buffalo.
So after all of this, they're back with Buster and the Bison in Buffalo.
Buster Bison, come on down.
Wow.
Now they have to get some lighting. They have to upgrade the lighting. It's not Major League standard. And the facilities, the clubhouses, they got to work on that.
But what do you mean upgrade? The season started.
I know. Well, they have several. They got a handful of days before they actually have to play a game there. But
they can do all that in a handful of days?
You got me. You got me. They had no other choice. They had nowhere to go. So they had to play every game on the road.
So Baltimore 86'd them too, just like Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Wow. Interesting. Huh. Well, if Pete Weber's listening, he'll be pumped. Buster will be pumped. So they have their home in Buffalo. Okay. Where it all started. And then they quickly were like, yeah, nah. Don't want to go to AAA Park. Yeah. We need a Major League Baseball facility. Huh. Okay. Well done. All right, that'll do it for the first hour. We'll come back. Casey Alexander, fine head coach, Belmont Basketball. We'll talk to Casey on the other side to start the second hour. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.